late. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Happy Monday. Hope you guys had a good Monday. I had a crazy Monday, like usual. We're gonna talk some Love in Paradise and MILF Manor season two tonight. So hopefully everybody can join us tonight. Hello, I Elaine. Elena. Sorry, I'm having a day. How is everybody tonight? Waiting for everyone to join. Judy, hi Judy. Hello. Where's Dee Dee at? Hi TJ, hi everybody. Welcome. It's weird. I just got a text from Dee Dee, but I don't see. There you are. There you are. I'm like, that's weird, right? I don't know. No, Dee Dee's here. Dee Dee is here. So, hi Judith, how are you? Hey everybody. It's really hot here, so I probably look bad, but hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Looking hot this Monday, but it's okay.
It's good. I'm fine. It's really hot, so I just feel like I'm dying, heat wise. But I'm okay. It could be worse, right? It could be a lot worse. So,
Yeah.
have you talked to?
Cara says she might be a few minutes late.
Oh, okay, that's what's up. Because I was like, I haven't heard from Kara. I'm pretty sure she's gonna be here. She might be working or something. So she'll probably join us later on. But I wanted to talk about MILF Manor first. I think that came on Sunday, right? Yeah, that came on
Yeah.
Sunday. So we know that Jamie has left the house, the villa, as Kelly said. And Kelly kind of was the one that took control because I don't know if you noticed, but this show doesn't have a host. So like all of the hosting duties, if you caught on, are done by somebody on the show. So like
Yeah.
somebody has to be in charge of like the challenges, somebody has to be like the voice, and they use like a cell phone and they like text them and stuff. It's a weird dynamic, right? Like most of these shows, like The Bachelor and stuff, they have a show. And I mean they have a host for the show. And this show is like they pick people to do the hosting, which is kind of weird. But Kelly took control. She had Jamie leave the house, which I think you said last week you fully agreed with that, right? You felt like at the point where this is a dating show for single people, she had no business being there. So I kind of agree with you 100%. Like misrepresentation is bad, in meaningful.
How are you gonna do that? I mean, you go in there, you're with a boyfriend, you have a boyfriend, and then you're gonna make someone fall in love with you just for you to say, "Oh yeah, well, I just came along because I got accepted on the show, but really, in real life, I have someone." I mean, come on.
See, this is kind of how I feel like reality TV has been lately. Like, I feel like, because, we've been talking about this with Rob and Sophie for a while now. We're pretty sure they were never really a couple, right? Like, we're very locked in on the fact that they are pretending to be together to get a few checks. And they got 3 seasons so far, right? Because we know they're going to reemerge on, The Last Resort. So I mean, and it's fine if you want to better your, hey Lori, if you want to better your position in the reality TV world, I don't knock anybody, for doing what you got to do, but it's like integrity is very, very rare in reality TV. And this was a really good explanation because a lot of people are like, oh, the younger generation, they'll do anything to better their careers. And I was like, well, look at this. This is an older person, an older woman who did exactly what they said that the younger generation would do. She knew she didn't need to be there. She knew that she was taking a spot from someone else. She even took Anthony away from Kelly, while they were getting to know each other, so she could insert herself into that. She was even playing the game dirty, so to speak. Like she was taking people away from people, and it seemed really selfish. And she made it seem like, oh well, I was just seeing what was out there, which I get that too. Because in the dating world, how many people are really only talking to one person, right? Like, because I hear so many stories where there's no such thing as exclusive anymore, right? Like, they're keeping their options open. Like, they might be talking to one person, but they are entertaining other people. Like, remember we were watching Seeking Sister Wife, and Garrick was still on the dating app. Like, he's literally pursuing this other woman. He's there with her, trying to get her pregnant, and he's still on the dating app pursuing other people. Obviously, he's a polygamist. That's different. But I think that most people now, it's impossible for them to commit to one person. They're always out there, like, entertaining everybody. You know, like, they're always looking for the next best thing. And it's like, I'm scared of anybody that has to enter the dating pool right now, right? Because you don't know what you're getting into. You don't know how many people have been talking to the same person you're talking to. It's scary, right?
It is very scary. I seen on Facebook today where someone, I guess they just got into a relationship, and they're like, "Well, I'm gonna put their face as my story. I need to know if I'm the only one they're talking to." I mean, and that's crazy. Like,
it's so crazy because you don't really know who's being exclusive and who's not. Okay, so they played a game. It was called Dirty Little Secret, right? And, you know, everybody has a secret. You know, I think we talked about this before when we were talking about, I don't know, something that came out on the show. And everybody has, like, secrets, you know, that they're hiding or whatever, or something that happened in their past. But we heard a lot of these secrets. Oh, hold on. Before we get into that, Kara's here. So we're gonna bring Kara in the conversation before we start with the dirty little secrets, because I want to go down the list of the secrets that we got, and I want to, like, rank them. Well, hello.
Hey, sorry I'm late.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing good. And better late I'm than good. Never.
Yep. Here I
well,
am.
You know, no, I'm usually the late one, so this is nice. This is nice. Thank you, Kara, for taking the attention off of me.
I got you.
Thank you. So we're talking dirty little secrets, right? So we're talking MILF Manor, and there are some secrets we heard, right? Like, we heard Kelly Mack's secret was she was in the Mile High Club. And with that being said, she said that she joined the Mile High Club on a private jet.
Of course.
So she says she's a little more classier than, like, someone who did it on Southwest, right? So I wanna ask, is anyone, everybody in the chat too, is anyone a part of the Mile High Club? I am not.
I've literally only ever
flown. Well, Dee Dee, actually, yeah, I was gonna say, Dee Dee, you've never been on an airplane, so that was a stupid question. And Kara, you've only been on it, like, one time, right?
Like, three times, but two of them were with my kids, so.
Oh, yeah. I'm not one. You know, honestly, nothing about an airplane makes me want to do anything like that, because I'm usually worried about landing safely in one piece. You know, like, so I'm not usually, that's not my train of thought. Yeah. So, okay, so Judy says no, Karen says no, Lauren says no. Okay, so nobody in here is a part of the Mile High Club. I'm not judging anything or saying that you shouldn't. I think it's interesting. I don't know how you would go about it, because I've used airplane bathrooms, and good Jesus, there's not even enough room in there for me. So, like, when I think of, like, two people and trying to make that situation happen, seems really difficult and also scary, because when you hit turbulence and stuff, like, what if you, like, hit your head? You know, I don't know. I think of the worst case scenario, right? Like, I go to the negative to everything, because I'm thinking, like, that seems fun up until you hit turbulence and knock yourself out, and then no one knows you're in the bathroom, right? And then you're...
or they find you and you're naked in an awkward position.
Right. And then everybody on the plane sees you getting carried out. Exactly. And then, you know, it's going to be on, what do you call that? Not YouTube, WorldStar, yeah. Right? There's going to be a video, and then you're going to have to explain to your job why you were naked in the airplane, right? Yeah. So it's not something that I would do. I think Stacy's was, he was in a fraternity, and he had a bet to how many women he could sleep with in one day, and it was 5 women, right? And it's funny, because his son Miles was like, well, that doesn't surprise me. I knew my dad was a hoe. Like, yeah. That doesn't surprise me at all. And I was like, 5 women in one day? That's crazy, right? Like, who has the stamina for that? 5 different
people. I literally feel like all their before questions were just made up.
Yeah. I was going to ask you that. Do you think that some of these are fake? Like, do you think that they added some stuff to it so they could get casted? Because one of the dads was like, I don't even remember what I said. And I was like, well, if it's a really, really dirty secret that you did, you would remember, right? So I feel like they might have added a little to it. Joey said that he had been with 35 separate women. And he said
35 people. And everybody kept saying, that's a lot of women. That's a lot of women. And every time they said that, he was uncomfortable. So I think maybe he was part of like an orgy or something, but I don't think he's actually been with 35 women.
I mean, he's only 21 years old, right? Or 22 years old. That would, you're right. It would have to be like a group situation, yeah. 3 and 4 people at a time to get to that high number.
Started really young.
Yeah.
Even his dad was like, that's more than me, and I'm more than twice your age.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I always hear people say their body count is high. They don't want to say what the number is, right? Yeah. Like, I've heard that a lot, especially in the newer generation. But that's crazy to think because, you know, back in the day, I don't want to age myself, but there were diseases around that could kill you, right? So you had to be careful who you were sleeping with, and you needed to know what was going on because you could leave with something detrimental to your life, like HIV, and there's a lot. So the idea that people are just freely going out there, and, you know, these apps have really made hooking up way more accessible.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when we were younger, we had to go out and meet somebody, like, in real life. Like, you can actually sit in your house or your car, I don't know, whatever you're doing, and find somebody to hook up with, like, on your phone. You don't have to, like, travel. You don't have to go to a bar. You don't even have to have dinner. You know, the awkward dinner of meeting. Like, you don't have to do any of that. And I think that that made people's numbers a lot higher because, in my opinion, when you find the person you think you like and then you hook up and then you realize you don't really like them, then you just don't call them back anymore. You have to start over, right? And I think it removed the context of getting to know the person first, because at least when we were younger, we got to know people first. We had something in common, right?
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
Oh, so Callie said that she had sex in a tree.
What?
So... I don't know how that works. Well,
that
I was
doesn't
thinking of
surprise me. I mean, because Kelly would have sex anywhere.
Probably,
I mean, honestly, with anybody.
She probably had sex with a tree.
Well, I was like, maybe she was in a hammock. You know, I don't know how that works. Like,
she said she was bent over in the branches, is what she said.
Why? Why, of all the places, like, even a car would be better than in a tree, right? Like,
I was so sad when I saw her come back on.
Really? So you're just...
not a fan.
At all. Like, you just hate her. I mean, last season, she was the most hated, you know? She was the one that caused the most drama. And this season, right when she got there, she was the one that kind of... I mean, it needed to be done, but she was the one that got Jamie out of the house. She was like, you know what? You gotta go. You shouldn't be here. And I think, what's his name? One of the dads, maybe it was Sean's dad, Ashley, was like, I don't like the way she treated her during the exit. Well, you know, I felt like...
Anthony. Yeah.
He was like, I just don't like the way he treated her. And it's like, you know, there is a right way to treat people, even when they're wrong. You know, and a lot of people are like, oh, well, they didn't do right. Like, I always go back to the definition. Okay, so say you're getting arrested.
Mm-hmm.
You did something wrong. The police can do one of two things. They can grab you, throw you against the car, you know, rough you up, or they can respectfully cuff you and put you in the back. Either way, you're going to go to jail, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a respectful and a right way to do things. And I feel like she really did kick her while she was down. And I'm not a fan of kicking people while they're down. Like, yes, she did a horrible thing, a stupid thing.
I mean, I totally would have. And I would have made fun of her stupid eyeshadow while I did it.
So wait, you think that the way that it was handled was totally fine? You don't think anybody was too harsh?
I'd have called her ass out. I'd have belittled her all the way out of the house. She was in there and somebody else deserved to be. She knew she didn't deserve to be there. She had bad eyeshadow. She needed to go. Just got to go.
The eyeshadow.
Not only eyeshadow, but bad lashes as well. Yeah.
It looked to me like she had just woken up and she did the eyeshadow yesterday. That was like what I thought. Because I was like, well, maybe it's like early in the morning and she did it yesterday and she never took it off. Because it did look really rough. Like she slept through it. But it was nighttime, so she hadn't been to bed yet. So I don't know what happened. It was a lot for me. But, wait. Crystal said... she lied to her boyfriend and said that her friend was mugged so she could use his car to go hang out with another man.
Yeah.
So that was pretty telling, you know. And wait, what was Barbie's secret? Did we get to hear Barbie's secret?
I don't think we heard Barbie's.
I don't remember. I feel like I would have remembered that.
I don't think Barbie has a secret because she's done told everybody everything.
Yeah.
I mean, Shane,
it was Barbie and she won, so we didn't get to hear her secret because I was kind of interested. But you're right, there isn't really much we don't know. She told everybody she was a stripper right when she got there.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I think she's one of those people who, you know, what's this girl's name? It was an actress, and it was an acting role she played, and she played a girl named Amy, and she's like, well, I call myself Fat Amy because she was overweight, and she was like, well, I say it first so nobody can say it. You know, I owned it. And I feel like that's kind of what Barbie does. She doesn't allow people to belittle her or to judge her. She puts it out there and she owns the comment first.
Yep.
So anything that you can say, she's like, oh, I've already told everyone, you're not hurting me. Everyone already knows. You can't really use that against me. And I do like that tactic. Yep. You know, when you do have things that are that you might be ashamed of or embarrassed of, you know what? You own it. You be the one to break the story. You be the one to tell everybody what happened. So if anybody else tries to do that, you're like, oh, well, everyone already knows. I owned it. It is what it is. I'm not really hurt by your words because anything that you've called me, I've called myself worse. You know, like, I totally get that part. But, oh, so Jacob is the one that's going to leave, right? So we were watching. He wasn't interested in, help me out. He was interested in Barbie. And then Barbie was showing interest in Chris, right? I believe Chris, the MMA fighter. And he said he's not used to dating, like, seeing more than one person at a time, which was weird because as a 23-year-old guy, they usually are involved with more than one person. So it was interesting because he was like, it's just not something that he can tolerate and he's going to end up leaving. I don't know if he's going to take his dad with him because we saw two guys arriving on jet skis. So I'm assuming it's a dad and a son, right? But yeah. I don't know if Jacob leaving, does he have to make his dad leave, or if his dad is comfortable, does his dad get to stay? Like, I don't, the rules are really blurred this season, right? Like, everything is kind of out there. You don't really know what to expect.
Yeah.
So we do know that two more people are arriving.
But I'm actually
I think it's two more guys from last season.
Oh, so you think
it's wrong, but I think it's two more guys from last season.
Okay, so you don't think it's a dad and a son. You think it's two sons, probably.
Could be.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's very possible. I think that they really took the rules and they blurred them this season. They're kind of just doing whatever works.
They throw them in loops. I mean, they're like, you know what I'm saying? They get us excited and then they throw something else in the mix to get us more excited. So,
Well, yeah, I think
about the younger generation and how many partners they had and how they should be with all these people and all of this stuff. But there's a lot of hurt feelings and we're on like, what, day two? And Joey's already super sad because Christina's talking to Kelly or to what's his face. Anyway, he's already super sad because he doesn't want his girl talking to someone else. Like, you guys are not exclusive. And then Jacob's all sad because Barbie's talking to someone else. Like, you're there to meet people. You're not exclusive. And not only that, you're competing with your father. So,
yeah.
I mean,
I felt like the boys this season are really sensitive.
Yeah,
like, very. They kind of need to be coddled. And it's interesting because you're right. We always talk about how this generation is like cold and insensitive and they don't respect feelings. But I don't know. Maybe that's not an all-inclusive statement because you're right. They are hurt when they see the women on a dating show talking to other women. Because I was like, well, guys, this is what happens when you go on these apps and you tell a girl how beautiful she is and then y'all hook up and then you unmatch with her on the app. And, you know, this is how she feels. It's like, maybe this is how you'll understand how she felt. But I was like, well, maybe every guy isn't like that. You know, maybe every 22-year-old guy isn't trying to date every single girl in the app. Maybe there are guys who want to settle down, or maybe they just want to win the show. You know, I don't know. It's hard to tell, but I think that the idea of somebody leaving here together and it working out is just zero.
Yeah, zero.
Like, completely 0% chance. Like, it's like on The Bachelor or Married at First Sight, and you're like, yeah, cool. Y'all are going to be broken up, like, within 2 months. Cool, though. Nice that you think it's going to work.
Yeah.
It's totally not.
Not at all.
Well,
I don't think any of them are going
to
make it.
I'm going to switch over to Love in Paradise, because this episode, we're on episode 5. And we met Luke's friend, Brian, who is actually the husband of Medellin's best friend. And it's really interesting to me because he was the person who brought up the prenup idea, which is interesting because, to be fair, he was Madeline's friend first. So it's really interesting that he would say, you know, you need an ironclad prenup if you want to marry this girl. And I was like, that's pretty telling for somebody who knew her first, mm-hmm. you know, to warn. Oh, and we found out about an apartment in Colombia. It's a $300,000, kind of looked like a studio, luxury apartment that he does have an asset. Remember we're talking about how he didn't have any assets? You know, he didn't have anything for him. So he does have an asset, thank God. Yeah. Because I was really worried about this man and if he was going to be like living on Hollywood Boulevard underneath something. So he does have an asset and it's an apartment and he wants to protect it. And the first thing I thought was, you've given her all this money. You bought her a BMW. You give her everything she wants. You bought her a nail salon. Why do you want to cut her off now? Yeah. You know, like, it's really confusing to me. And it was almost disrespectful because I was like, she's putting up with all of your crap. She knows you're broke. You know, she didn't walk away. And then now that you're broke, you're like, oh, by the way, whatever I do have, I don't want you to have any of it. And it's like, it's again, it's a bait and switch for me. He sold her on a lifestyle that he cannot maintain. And now he wants her to accept nothing in return. Kind of like, remember we were talking about this with Jasmine, because Jasmine was like, oh, I don't want to sign a prenup because I'm giving up my life. I'm giving up everything that I know to be with you. You know, I need some kind of insurance policy. You know, like if you decide and wake up one day that I'm just not who you want to be with, what about me? And I kind of feel like he's putting her out there as, and she took it as, he doesn't trust me. So I wanted to ask you both, if you were to get married, how important is a prenup or unimportant is a prenup, or would you even consider one?
I mean, if I was marrying somebody that's a freaking teenager, first of all.
Right, 19.
Yeah, like, I don't know. She's already milked you for every penny you've got. It seems like you would want to protect the little smidge of security you have. Mm-hmm. So, absolutely. I mean, look at the Jasmine and Gino situation. Just like Dee Dee and I said in the very beginning, she's here. Now they're married. Married, and now she bounced just like that.
Yes, yeah, she was in New York this mm-hmm. weekend. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's and she's spending a lot of time in Florida too, so yeah, there's something going on there. But so Dee Dee, how do you feel about prenups? Do you think that prenups are necessary? Do you agree? Like, okay, so for me, I don't agree with them at all. I think that if you love the person and you trust the person and you know them well enough, you don't need it. So I want to know where you stand on that.
Prenups. I am a prenup person. Y'all know this. Why are you asking me that?
No matter. What if you've known this person for years? It doesn't matter.
I'm just going to say that Dee Dee and I will be there to object at your wedding. You're welcome.
So wait. So you think that a prenup
okay,
is
wait not a minute. Let me ask you. Okay, Cara, me and you need to ask George this question, okay? All right, George, if you were to start dating someone, you worked really, really hard to get what you have, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so you're going to want someone to come in and take ownership of nothing they've worked to get?
From another country.
I mean, see, that's a unique situation. No, like, in my opinion. If I was to get married, I think that the person would have to be equal or greater to me financial wise, meaning whatever I could bring to the table, they could
help
bring to the table.
You love. You cannot help who you love. Yeah. You done fell in love with this person and you're head over heels because you've been talking to him for 5 years online, whatever. Now you think you know this person. Turns out they don't have a pot to piss in, but it's too late because you already love them. But are you just going to let them move in and put their name on your car and your house and just hope for the best?
No, okay. No, okay, in that scenario, no.
Close, George.
In that scenario, no. Like, in my mind, because, you know, I've never been married my whole life, if I was to get married, you know, they would have to be able to be equal to me financially in some way.
Okay, you wrong on that, George. You are wrong. Because not everybody makes the kind of money you make.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how much money you make, but I'm just saying not everybody makes
not
a lot
rich.
Of money. I know that, but I'm just saying. So say for instance, someone like Miracara. You were to start dating someone like Miracara. Okay, and we told you we make, I don't know, $15 an hour, $16 an hour on our job. You're going to look at how much we make before you decide if you want to be in a relationship with us?
But it's too late because you've already fallen in love with us.
I mean, like, yes, I would.
Now you see why I say prenup, okay?
I just feel like it's a blatant in your face, I don't trust you.
Okay, but here's the thing. Okay, so now we're going to start dating. I told you already that I make $200,000 a year because I'm this huge real estate investor, right?
Yeah.
Now,
okay.
Now I make either the same as you or a little bit more, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now I'm moving to you because we're madly in love. Okay. But I also lost my job 3 years ago and I didn't tell you that part. But that's okay because you think that I make this much and you're already in love with me. So now I don't need a prenup. I can just come put my name on your shit.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
But it's fine because we're in love. So that's all that matters.
No. I mean, yeah, in that situation, I totally understand because, I mean, I think that misrepresenting yourself financially is a bad situation to be in. You know,
maybe, like, I was telling you the truth at the time, but you already fell in love with me, so now it's okay. I just don't want to tell you how bad I messed up in my real estate investment.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I get that. That's true.
George, if you ever get married, get a prenup. Yeah.
I don't think I ever will, though. Like, honestly, I don't think I ever will. Because
never say never.
I've heard so
never.
Many,
never
I've
say
so
never.
Many horror stories.
Never say never.
And let me tell you this. I have a friend that got married, and they literally brought their taxes and stuff and brought, like, all of their financial statements and went over it together before they got married, just so they were on the same page. Like, their credit report, money they might have owed, available credit, if they owned a car, like, okay. They put it all out.
That's great. Now we've established that you and I make exactly the same amount. We're completely equal. I move in, and now because you trust me, I can put my name on your shit, right? Because you trust me, and we make the same.
Yeah.
Okay, but Now I fell down and I hurt myself and I injured myself and now I can't work. So now you have to take care of me. But in the meantime of taking care of me, you've grown to resent me because you're sick and tired of wiping my ass. So now you're mad and treating me like shit because you don't want to wipe my ass anymore. And now I'm leaving and I'm taking your house and your car with me. But that's okay. Because we don't believe in prenups.
Whoa. Remember,
George, when you get married, if you don't do a prenup, whether she helped you buy that house, that car, the food, put money in the bank, whatever, whether she helped you or not, she still gets 50-50 unless she can convince the judge and she can get everything, take everything away from you, and there is nothing you can do about it.
But that's okay, because one time you made the same amount of money. You were financially equal. That's fine.
Prenup, George.
Okay. You convinced me. So I think that because, yeah, you know, I love my house. Like,
yeah, she probably does it too.
Your house too, George. Right? Your house is really pretty. So
it took me like a whole year to find the house that I wanted. Didi, you know, they were sending me houses and I was like, nope. Not big enough, not enough bathrooms. I don't like this wall. I have to tear the wall down. That's a weight-bearing wall. Like, it was a whole issue. So, like, that would really hurt. Like, it took me a really long time to find this particular house. Like, that really, really took me a long time. So, when you put it like that, you know, because my car, you know, I like my car, but I can buy another car. And, you know, or my other car, I can buy another car.
You could, but should you have to?
No, not unless I'm ready. You know, I totally understand, but... Okay, so let's talk about the $300,000 apartment that he uses as an Airbnb, right? So his asset is the Airbnb, which First off, he said that he was renting the apartment for $1,900 for 9 days. That's really low, right, for a luxury? I don't know.
What was luxury about it?
Yeah.
Well, it looked like it was in a high rise. Like from the window, it looked like there was a view.
Hotels are in a high rise. That doesn't mean they're luxury.
This is true. I mean, when I rented Airbnbs when I go on vacation, I usually pay like $200 or $300 a night. So I was like, why is it so? But I guess these are houses. So I was like, that didn't seem like a lot of money. How is he ever gonna return his investment of $300,000 if he's only making that little bit of money each time? And you have to remember with Airbnb, when the person leaves, it's like a 50-50 chance that they destroyed your apartment or your house. Like, people have parties, they don't respect things. I've seen videos where people came in, the refrigerator was on its side. Like, just horrific situations. And I'm thinking, like, his only asset whatsoever is only making him such a small amount of money. And it kind of seemed like Medellin is not fully understanding the severity of I'm broke. Because she was like, oh, well, let's plan this wedding and this is what we're going to do. And she went to look at a venue.
What I don't understand is, if you're so broke, move her happy ass into the place you own and stop paying the damn rent.
Well, but I thought that too. But if you can get more, because I know people that they have a rental property or they buy like a duplex, and then you rent out one side or you rent that out. And if you could get more, then you pay your mortgage from the rent. Right. So
unless someone destroys it.
Well, Right. That's what I was going to say. Maybe a long-term tenant would be a better option, because that's a 12-month commitment. Because Airbnbs, there's an Airbnb on my street, which it's actually against our HOA, but I've been nice and I haven't said anything. But it's very much empty all the time. Like, I saw somebody stay in it like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I haven't seen anybody. I seen somebody in it like 2 days ago. It's empty half the time. So it's like, that's not a guaranteed source of income. So I think a long-term tenant would be better. But again, like you guys were saying, it looks like a studio. Doesn't look that great. He's only getting $1,900, and that's like for 9 days, that's $100 a night. That's like a cheap hotel, right?
That's still like $5,700 a month. Is it really? If it's constant. Yeah, $1,900 for 9 days. If you do that.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's 27 days. That would be almost $5,700.
So,
her lifestyle, they probably go through $5,700 in less than an hour.
Yeah.
Well, it would need to cover the salon and the apartment. Then they could both live in that apartment off of the money from that asset. And then it would cover the salon, which he hasn't turned a profit on yet.
Hold on, because this says, I'm looking up the average rent for an apartment in Colombia. And this says it's like $533 to $640 a month.
Wait, what? Say again?
For a two-bedroom, it's $533 to $640 a month to rent an apartment.
Oh, my God, that's free.
Yeah.
That's like my electricity bill. There's a long-term tenant would be the opposite of what you want. You want people who are not from the area, who are visiting, who think that they should be paying more. Because, yeah, if you can rent up, that's literally, oh my God.
It says small one-bedroom and studio apartments go for between $213 and $256 a month. For two bedrooms, it's $533 to $640 a month.
Oh, wow.
Dang. We need to move to Colombia.
Should we move? Yep. Should we move? Because if we all put our money together, we literally would live in like a 4-story mansion.
That's fine.
Right? Like we would literally.
We are not getting a prenup on our way.
No, we don't have to get married. We just move. Like, and we all get our own floor in the mansion, and we would literally pay like $600. Like, okay. I'm down.
No.
I have no reservations with that, because I don't even want to tell y'all what my mortgage is. I don't want to say it out loud.
Right.
That's crazy. Like, I would love that.
We could go buy a big mansion there and an apartment and rent out the apartment to pay the rent on our mansion.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, we can do the asset, what do they call it? Where your asset comes back and pays for the, I can't remember.
Yeah.
I used to be good at this. I took business classes, but I used to be good at this, but I'm not anymore. So, oh, so we were watching Annie try to convince us that she is in love and she's fallen in love with Kyle. And now I'm questioning if she's okay.
Yeah.
Like, is she mentally okay? Because she spent some time with him in person. She's seen the way he acts, the ball scratching, I'm just trying to understand what she's been through in life, that this man is the answer to her happiness. Because I'm not a therapist, but I think that something went horribly wrong back in the day that she thinks that, oh man, I can't let this person slip through the cracks. I have to make it work.
Dude, even I if would push him so far through the crack, I'd just push his ass. He is so repulsive. I can't even watch him. He's just disgusting.
Yes, he is very disgusting. Well, I think she's in it for the green card.
Yeah, has to be.
Well, that was my next thought too, because, you know, oh, and I don't know if y'all know about the pregnancy, but we don't want to get into it now, but, you know, later in the season, there's going to be a pregnancy scare or whatever. And I'm thinking that was planned as part of the plan, because with the baby.
Did you guys see the shit surfacing, all the text messages that were leaked, where he was literally asking different women to go on 90 Day Fiancé with him?
I haven't seen those, but I've heard about those. I did hear that all of the women said no. Yep. They didn't want to be on the show with him, which is interesting because, you know, a lot of people would jump on the opportunity to be on the show. We watch
Love in Paradise is like the Temu version of 90 Day Fiancé, right? Like, mm-hmm. even the backdrops and the ITMs are so Dollar General that it's ridiculous. But it's like they scrape the bottom of the barrel and end up with people like Kyle. Now, Kyle, if you watch him when they're doing anything, any of the other shows, any of the people on Love in Paradise are actually doing their life, pretending like the cameras aren't there. Mm-hmm. Kyle can't take his freaking eyes off the camera. He is constantly making eye contact with the camera. He is all about being on the show, period.
Oh, yeah. I noticed it I think I told y'all this before, but like 3 months before the show aired or even showed a preview, he sent me a message and it's funny because I didn't see it right away. I get a lot of DMs and they go into the what do you call it?
Request. Yeah.
And I don't get them. And then I was going through them and he sent me like 1, 2, 3, 4. And then, you know, when people consistently send me a message, I'll eventually read it. And it kept saying like, hey, I'm going to be a cast member on Love in Paradise. I can't wait to hear your opinion of my story. And then the next one was like, I hope you'll talk about me on your podcast. And I hope I could be on your podcast. And this was like two or three months before I even knew who the cast was.
Right.
So it was like, I knew that this was, I kind of got like Scott vibes a little bit. Like he was super excited to be on the show, which is ironic because what he's doing on the show is horrifying. So for you to be excited for people to see you behaving this way also makes me wonder, is Kyle okay? You know, like, is everything functioning properly?
No, because not. And no, Kyle, you cannot come on the podcast. You have cooties and we don't like you.
I definitely...
No.
Yeah, me and Cara says no.
At first, I was like, I kind of want to ask him some questions, but now at this point, I don't think I do. I don't know. I don't think that it's going to help. I think, so on this episode, he's like, I don't want to stop doing my sperm donations, but he's like, maybe I'll let Annie pick who I do donations with. What makes him think that that's the compromise that she's looking for? Any woman is not going to be okay with saying, okay, yeah, you can have natural insemination with women as long as I pick them. This isn't Seeking Sister Wife. This isn't Danielle. That's something Danielle would do, right? That's literally what she does. She goes and finds women for her husband to sleep with. I don't see that happening, you know, but again, Annie's kind of weird, you know, like I feel like because she's like, oh, he's so sweet and I'm seeing his
true colors and he's green card. That's got to be it. That's got to be it. That's got to be the reason, because no woman, no How can I put this in a nice way?
Don't worry about
because
it.
I'm not gonna make fun of nobody, but I'm just saying, like, mentally stable women, like, why would they want to have anything to do with him? He's nasty. He's disgusting. Like, well, I don't get it.
It's funny because when I watch shows that talk about donations and donors, the women are usually so picky. Like, because you get, like, a file on the person. Sometimes they even show the woman a picture of the man.
Yeah.
You get, like, a file, his education, blood type, even, like, any illnesses that run in his family. Like, you literally get all the information you need. And women will get, like, 10, in my opinion, on paper, perfectly great men for them. And they still won't pick those men because that's how picky that they are, which I respect that. You know, if you know what you want, you know what your child should look like and how that child should be, you should do that. And it's like he finds the bottom of the barrel women who are so desperate, probably spent all their money on the process, they don't have any more left, and he goes and finds the ones that have probably given up and convinces them. And I hate that. I hate the idea that he's preying on vulnerability, because the process, this is a super emotional process for a woman, not being able to give birth. It makes a woman feel inadequate. So to prey on the fact, knowing that she feels a certain type of way about the situation, and then manipulate her into doing something that she might feel uneasy doing, but this is, seems like it's the only option. And then the text messages that we've seen of the things that he says about the women after, it's just, it's unfathomable that a human being can do that and have no remorse. That's why I'm wondering, like, is everything working okay? You know, like, because you don't see what's wrong with what you're doing. You don't see why it's wrong. You don't see why saying these things about certain women of certain races are wrong. Like, are you okay? Like, is there missing screws? Because I'm trying to understand. And he's so proud of being on the show. And it's like, I would be mortified. My mother would get on a plane and smack me across the face if I did what you did on TV. She would literally get on a plane and smack me across the face twice.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, he's disgusting. He's just
he is. He's,
and just he's in disgusting. Case, just in case you didn't hear it the first time I said it, no, Kyle, you're not welcome on this podcast. You're a disgusting human being, and we don't want your cooties on here.
We're gonna pass. I said it a little nicer. We're gonna pass. Oh, so we got Aaliyah's funeral tonight for Douglas, which was very emotional. You know, I know that this transition was pretty emotional and eye-opening and life-changing for her, but it was interesting. She brought her friends, her family, Sean, everybody was there. They did the fire. She had a nice little speech and talked about, you know, why this was important to her, and she put to rest Douglas and she burned the picture. It was a nice ceremony. It was a nice little transition, you know. And I think that Sean realized, he said something interesting tonight that caught my attention. He said, I realize now that I have to either be in love with the soul of the person and not the gender or what's on the outside, or I have to get off board. And you know, I guess that's true. When you love someone, because I've heard people tell me all the time, like, oh, I used to have a type. I only would date this certain type of person. And then they will fall in love with somebody who doesn't look or act or appear anything like who they used to be with or who they used to chase after. So I guess that statement rang true to me, because I was like, you do kind of fall in love with, like you just said earlier, Carl, you fall in love with who you fall in love with.
Yeah.
They might not have blonde hair. They might not be a size 2. You love that person's soul and personality.
Yep.
So maybe there's a ray of hope for them to work it out. I don't know. I think that it's going to be a huge, just like this was a life-changing transition for Aaliyah, it's going to be life-changing for Sean too, because he's literally going from a gay man to, I guess, a bisexual man now, because he would be with a woman, you know, and not a man. That's a huge deal. You know, some people, that's not an option. You know, for some men that are gay, that's not an option. He's not going to date a woman. That's just not who he is. It's not what he wants. So I don't know if he's going to be willing to transition from gay to bisexual for Aaliyah. And I think that's going to be the biggest issue in question, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think it'll still be an issue for him trying to accept everything. He's very much in love with both of them. I realize they're the same person, but he's in love with both of them. But, you know, with him being married to a woman prior to this, I feel like the transition will be smoother than he thinks, because he's truly in love with his soul.
Yeah. And I mean, it's still going to be hard though, because she's going to get the surgeries and yeah. it's going to be different parts. Because, you know, like when people are gay or bisexual, their sex parts, it's stuff that they're attracted to, you know, and things that they...
In my opinion, it doesn't sound like she's real big on having gender reaffirming surgery. She's more concerned about getting the Colombian butt or the Brazilian butt.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, she said nothing about her face or anything. She just said she wants to have the slim waist and the big butt.
Yeah, big butt, yeah.
And she she's not even looking into getting the other taken away because she's not into that.
Yeah.
I think that if she doesn't have the reassignment surgery, it's a possibility it could work, right? Because it's just, in my mind, like when you're gay, the way you even are intimate, it's so different than the way you would be if you were with a woman. But if they still have the parts that he desires, I think it's possible for that to work. But I think without the parts, you know, it's just, it's not the same thing. You know, yeah. I think that a lot of people are, no one is born gay. Like, people are born the way that they are. Yeah. And if they like a certain thing, they like a certain thing. And you can't switch it up and hope they're going to catch on and like it, you know? That's literally what gay people have been trying to get across to people for decades. You know, like, it's not something that they learned. It's not something that they prefer. This is just who they are.
Right.
And I think that this is going to be a test. You know, it's going to be a pretty crazy test for Sean. But since he has been with men and women, like you said, I think it'll be something that he can, if he's open to it, he can transition to.
Right.
I think. But for anybody else in that situation, it would be a lot harder. Oh, so Alex and her cousin Tiffany went to do these clay, I call them clay penises. They were like clay bowls that they didn't make very well. And they had the conversation and religion came up again. And I think that, like, I was tweeting earlier about it, and I was like, I think of anyone of this whole show who really shouldn't be together outside of everyone on the show, I think it's probably Adriano and Alex, because they literally agree on nothing other than sex. You know, absolutely. Like, even Sean and Aaliyah, they love each other, you know? And it's like, every time Alex talks about Adriano, she's like, we don't see eye to eye, we fight, we broke up four times over threesomes, but we have great sex. And I was like, you sound like Ashley and Manuel, like, that's not enough. It's never gonna be enough. And even he said something about, you know, what would it be like if you had mixed children, you know, because having mixed children. And also, I want to also bring up, it's very possible he answered this question wrong because he's never been to America and he doesn't know the struggle that it is in America for African-American men and women. So I didn't like the way she was like, oh, well, he told me to suck it up, you know, and just be yourself, because, you know, in these other countries, they might not see racism as serious or as even widespread as we see it in America. Yeah. You know, so I was like, the way that he answered it, like, oh, you just have to be strong, be a woman, suck it up. I don't necessarily feel like he was saying, just deal with your issue. I think it was more so he doesn't understand the issue because he's never really experienced it or seen it. He's an Italian man who's lived in Italy and in Australia, two places that are not really, really well known for racism. Right. So I do think that she has a higher expectation of understanding from him. And I mean, again, this is a 33-year-old man who thinks that he should have sex with multiple women every day. Like, he's not going to understand the struggle of being a Black woman and having mixed children. Like, you would have to explain that to him, right?
Absolutely.
Even explaining to him, I don't even think he would get it.
Yeah.
Well, right. I mean, it's really hard because I think a lot of times in America, we think that our problems are understood around the world. And every country is specific to their own issues and problems, right? Like, they have their own issues. We have a lot of major issues, but issues that we face here every day, there are other countries that don't face it. They don't even know what it's about. They don't understand it. They don't have those same issues or economic values or problems. So I don't know. She was just like, oh, well, he's not religious, and I would want to raise my children religious, and I would want him to understand the struggle, you know, of being African-American. I was like, well, those are all things he would need to physically come here to see.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't think people realize racism outside of certain places. You know, like, in Italy, racism isn't a major factor. they have other major issues that they face, but racism isn't a huge factor. And in Australia, it's not a major factor either. It exists, but it's not a major factor. Like here in America, there are people who are, you know, when they're arrested, sometimes they're unalived instead of arrested because they look a certain way.
Right.
Or like, it's pretty serious here in some places, but in other countries, you know, I have to also remember, some countries don't even allow people to have guns.
Yeah.
Like, only the police have guns. So it's like, they don't understand gun violence. They don't understand a lot of the things that we're dealing with because it's not a real issue there.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
So yeah.
You're right.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I said, you're right.
I think of all the couples that are together outside of all of them that should break up. It's them. Because they just don't have anything in common. And I think that he lives in a world that she's never been a part of. And she lives in a world that he's never been a part of. And my issue, though, is neither one of them want to experience each other's worlds or try to learn about each other's background. Yeah. They both want to exist in their own universe outside of the other person's realm. And I think that you can't build a relationship being closed-minded. Hey, Jamie. I didn't realize Jamie was in here. You can't build a understanding of each other. Like if I'm black and I was to marry a white woman, I would need to have an understanding of her culture and her traditions and vice versa, you know, in order for us to understand and get along. And I can't just assume that they know, right? Like there are issues that other races deal with that other races don't, you know? And I think that a lot of people just assume everybody knows everything. Right. And everybody understands everything and they know your struggle and they know what you've dealt with. And it's like, unless you're going to be open and vulnerable and explain things to people, they're not going to know. Because we go around every day smiling and acting like everything is fine. And it's not, you know, like we are holding in things that people will never really understand. And I think she's expecting way too much out of a guy who wants to have a threesome every night. Right. Yeah. Like that's crazy.
I have more respect for the pottery class instructor than I do anybody on this show so far. That poor
patience, right?
Poor lady, she was stressing.
How are they so bad at it? Like, I remember.
But when I watched her hair go in there, like, okay, the penises were one thing. But when her hair started dipping, if that would have whipped her hair all the way around, that would have yanked her whole head down. And that would have been a whole different show.
Yeah. That was really scary for me, too.
Yeah.
Because I've seen. You know, I've seen a viral video where somebody's hair got caught in something and it literally ripped a whole pack out of their scalp.
I've seen it when hair got stuck in a KitchenAid mixer.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
That's scary.
That's what that reminded me of. It was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be bad.
I'm just glad nobody got hurt and she should take herself back home to Texas.
Yes.
I'm just going to throw that out there. She should be back home where she can find someone that she can relate to in some way. Because she said it on her very first clue package. She's like, it's her Italian stallion dream or something like that. She's a sex tourist. I hate to say it, but she's a sex tourist, right? She goes over there because she's amazed and intrigued and infatuated by sex with an Italian man.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I don't like to call people that word, but sometimes that's all it is because you're not actually building a relationship with the person. You just like the idea that they're this type of race. Because even her friend Tiffany, she was like, I call him Fabio. You know, like they're not, it's this idea of a dream or what they think a person should look like. And that's just the infatuation that they're building.
Yeah, I agree.
Water.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, water slides scare me for hair season. See, I can't swim, so I don't get on a water slide, but you're right. Your hair could get caught and then you're cascading in the other direction. You know what? Now y'all got me scared of everything. I'm scared of everything now. I'm terrified. Like, now I don't know what to do. Yeah, so, all right, so we're going to come back on Sunday. Wait, are we? Because you said that there is a holiday. When is that?
Memorial weekend.
Yeah, maybe we won't. We're going to regroup, guys, and talk, and then possibly we won't be back, or we'll wait a few days. So we'll let you know. I don't know what y'all's plans are. So we'll get back with you guys on whether or not we'll be back on the regular scheduled days or we'll wait a day or two. We'll figure it out. Because I don't think the show is taking a break. They usually don't.
Yeah.
So
I don't think so.
We'll figure it out. Make sure you're following both of my co-hosts, Cara and D. They're tagged in this video. Make sure you're following me on all social media platforms at George Massey, georgemassey.com. Here we get your podcast. Type in the George Massey Show. Thanks to everybody who's been streaming and watching. We really, really appreciate it. Everyone have a wonderful night. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to all of you. Oh, have a great holiday weekend as well. We'll talk to you all really soon.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.